There is something remarkable about really radical change. People hardly ever notice it. It seems logical, it is taken on board, and people live with it and thrive upon it. The simple revolution of mobile phones in ordinary life is one example. People can't now imagine a world where you couldn't text ahead to a friend to alter where you'll meet in half an hour. The lesson is that people take to change when it makes life easier. And the revolution that the lovely, thoughtful Quaker, Sir Adrian Cadbury, who died recently at 86, quietly brought to corporate governance is another example. He was the catalyst to produce the Cadbury Report that, in the early 1990s, brought forward what we now know as the Corporate Governance Code, which is regularly updated by the Financial Reporting Council. It governs the behaviour of UK companies. That all sounds like a grand and complicated structure. But it is not. And that is because it's based on the simple but heartfelt principles that Sir Adrian laid down. And that is why the code, and all that it embodies, has not only had an extraordinary effect on UK corporate life over the last 20 years or so, but has also, because it is seen to be simple and to work, been taken up around the world. People now forget quite how awful the corporate scandals of the 1980s were. There were some truly terrible people at the head of companies. When he stepped from his corporate helicopter after landing on his helipad atop his HQ in the City of London, Robert Maxwell used to urinate over the edge onto what he saw as the little people below. Once in his boardroom, he embarked on a strategy that fraudulently removed and spent the pensions of his employees. Bullies were rampant in the 1980s, and more important, they were unfettered. The mild-mannered and persuasive Cadbury set in train the process that changed all that. The great success has been the acceptance of corporate governance into the mainstream of business life. It's hard to recall a world that didn't have audit committees and didn't aspire to non-executive directors worth their salt. But it was not really that long ago. And it all came about quietly through a series of dinners instigated by an equally thoughtful Scottish accountant who felt the awfulness just couldn't go on. Ian Percy was the new president of the Institute of Chartered Accountants of Scotland, and at their annual London dinner in 1990, he floated the idea of a review of the governance of British companies. One dinner begat many more, and Sir Adrian was asked to produce his report. The rest is, as we journalists like to say, history. The difference, and why it worked, was that it was not prescriptive. The idea of comply or explain was born. It created a means whereby companies are not straitjacketed by rules, but are able to bypass them if it can be argued that they make no sense in particular circumstances. It is a system that has, as Sir Adrian intended, enabled a civilised process. And it also introduced the rule that no one should be both chairman and chief executive of a company at the same time. Power should have checks and balances. Corporate grandees of the time were furious, and across in the US the idea is still seen by many as barking mad. Further measures strengthened audit committees and non-executive directors. It put a seriously effective system of checks and balances in place, and it was based on largely accepted principles that are policed by effective regulators, but where peer pressure and the danger of reputational damage play a strong, if not dominant, part. But the real power of Sir Adrian's personal vision was that it was based on people and culture. He knew that formal regulations would simply result in people providing the minimum required to satisfy them. By providing simple principles and a means whereby companies could explain any anomalies, he knew that it would build a system where best practice pulled everyone to a place of better governance and behaviour. It was a truly remarkable achievement.